Module 8, Lesson 6, Common Issues and How to Solve Them During Sleep Training. In this lesson, we're going to look at some of the most common but potentially less obvious hurdles that parents often face when doing sleep training and how to resolve those. Common issue number one, split nights. Split nights are long wakings in the night on a regular basis where your little one struggles to settle back to sleep, and this can be so frustrating and exhausting as parents. We most often see this sleep issue caused by one of the following. A developmental motoric leap, which you can find out more information about how to respond to each of those specific major developmental leaps in the troubleshooting module. Or an unbalanced day routine, where the child is getting too much sleep during the day, especially too close to bedtime. Or there might still be an unhelpful sleep association involved. If you're currently struggling with split nights, it may be best to first look over your child's day routine and make sure that it's age appropriate, and then to wait a few days to see if it's due to a motoric leap before you start sleep training. Please note, though, that during the first few days of sleep training, there may actually be long awake periods during the night as your child is learning to settle without your help. This is not considered a split night, and this will resolve as soon as they get used to settling on their own. Common issue number two. The false start. Many parents complain that their little one wakes up 45 minutes after going to bed at night and have a very hard time resettling back to sleep, and that's what we refer to when we're talking about a false start. The false start is usually due to acute overtiredness built up over the day, due to an unbalanced day routine, or to a catnapping issue, or to chronic overtiredness due to long-term sleep issues. The best solution for the false start is to really make sure that bedtime is early enough and to adjust the day routine so that your little one gets enough sleep at the right times over the whole day. The false start might also be related to weaning your little one from an ingrained sleep association at the beginning of the sleep training process, so consistently implementing your settling method at this wake-up is really key. It can be tempting, I know, to give your child an extra feed here, especially if you felt their calorie intake over the day was inadequate. However, keep in mind that giving a top-up feed here at that false start will actually only encourage that wake-up. So you want to treat the false start as a night wake-up by responding with your settling method and not offering a feed until the next feeding time is due. Common issue number three, room sharing. Now remember, when we talk about room sharing, we're referring to when parents and their child share a room. So either bed sharing, co-sleeping, such as like a sidecar bassinet, or on separate sleep surfaces where the crib is in the parent's room. If you're still room sharing with your child, this could be a potential cause of frequent night waking because of you entering the room during your child's deepest sleep cycle, which is between 7 to 11 p.m. You entering the room may break up your little one's sleep cycle, even if they're not fully becoming awake when you come into the room. Older babies and toddlers may also start to check up on mama during the night, making sure that they're there, especially if they fell asleep with a parent in the room. So in this case, you either really want to make sure that you only enter the bedroom when your baby wakes up by themselves to feed for the first time of the night, or you may also need to consider moving your baby to their own room or yourself to another sleep space. Keep in mind that if your baby falls asleep independently in your room at the beginning of the night without your presence, and then you come to sleep in the room with them in the middle of the night, this can actually sometimes cause a case of intermittent reinforcement and be just really confusing for your child. And this makes settling at bedtime and resettling in the middle of the night very difficult. So if you are room sharing and you've been working on achieving independent settling for a week using your settling method, you've optimized the day routine and the sleep environment, but bedtimes or the night are still difficult. This could be the reason. So in this case, we would recommend moving the baby to their own room to sleep. If you're not quite sure about that big step yet, you might consider moving yourself to your guest room or living room to sleep for a few nights just to see if it makes a difference. We've seen families try out all sorts of creative bedroom situations during this transition phase. Common issue number four. Dream feeding. When we're talking about dream feeding, we're talking about the practice of feeding a sleeping baby at a time determined by the parents, usually right before they go to bed, with the hope of encouraging a longer stretch of night's sleep. Although dream feeding can be helpful up to the age of about 5 months, for certain babies it can actually lead to more frequent night waking because the deepest cycle of sleep in the night is broken up by a feed, and it's not a natural time of the child waking up by themselves. And even though the baby may still be asleep at this feed, the act of feeding here pulls them out of deep sleep and may dysregulate the rest of the night's sleep cycles, which can cause then frequent night waking for the rest of the night. So if your little one is dream feeding and does a great long stretch of sleep after the dream feed, that's perfect. It's working. If, however, your baby wakes up only a couple of hours after dream feeding, it's more likely doing more harm than good, and your baby may have still an association with feeding and sleep as well. In this case, we want to encourage you to work towards more independent settling and wait for your baby to wake up on their own to feed them at night instead of doing the dream feed. You may actually be surprised to find out that your baby's capable of sleeping till midnight or even 2 a.m. and they don't actually need that dream feed. Be sure to check back to lesson 5.2 of this module on how to reduce or wean night feeds if that's also applicable. Common issue number 5, pacifier usage. The use of the pacifier for falling asleep is often a sleep association that prevents children from consolidating their naps and their night's sleep, especially if the child cannot or just does not find and replace the pacifier by themselves. For babies that are younger than 8 months of age, we would recommend that you just wean the pacifier fully from the get-go. It's pretty easy to do at this age and generally doesn't cause too much frustration. For children 9 months and older, however, who are a little bit more emotionally attached to the pacifier or going through some separation anxiety, we would recommend that you first try to teach independent find and replace, and if that doesn't work, in a second step, to then wean the pacifier, keeping in mind that the pacifier should be fully weaned by the latest 2 to 2.5 years of age, simply for the jaw and their teeth development and speech development as well. So how do we wean the pacifier in younger babies up till 8 months of age? You can either remove the pacifier cold turkey and respond with your chosen settling method when the baby protests at sleep time, or you can try a more gradual approach where you remove the pacifier earlier and earlier in the falling asleep process until they just don't use it at all. With the more gradual method, your baby may still protest the change, and that can sometimes make that slower method harder to stay consistent with, but it can still be an effective way to wean the pacifier depending on your baby's temperament. So here are some of the key things to keep in mind when you're weaning the pacifier from a younger baby up till the age of 8 months. So firstly, even with a slower method, you may still reach a point where you need to implement your chosen settling method to help your baby fall asleep completely without the pacifier, and this will most likely involve some crying. So it's just good to have a realistic expectation of that. Secondly, whether you should go cold turkey or wean the pacifier gradually really depends on your baby's temperament and your patience and ability to stay consistent as well. Some babies find it too hard being allowed to have the pacifier to get calm, but then having it be taken away again, and that process can sometimes backfire, causing the settling to take a lot longer than it would otherwise. Not to mention, if you're not really patient to keep at this process over a couple of weeks and actually really remove the pacifier earlier and earlier in the process, your baby may still accidentally fall asleep with it sometimes, and that could lead to a case of intermittent reinforcement, which also would cause the process to be more difficult. Thirdly, something to think about is whether you're going to wean the pacifier for both awake time and sleep time, or just for sleep time. Some parents prefer to completely wean the pacifier for both awake time and sleep time as it just feels more clear. However, if you feel dubious about weaning the pacifier completely during awake time, or you're potentially considering reintroducing the pacifier for sleep once your little one is developmentally able to find and replace it on their own, you can still try offering the pacifier to your little one during the day for comfort when they're awake. This may be especially helpful for babies that seem to need a lot of sucking or who are just generally more unsettled throughout the day. Keep in mind that if the sleep does not improve within a week of weaning the pacifier at sleep times, and you've also ruled out other day routine or sleep environment issues, the pacifier usage during the day when your child is awake may still actually be disturbing your little one's sleep. And in this case, we would recommend weaning the pacifier completely, because using it to soothe your baby during the awake times, it might still be maintaining that sleep association and preventing the sleep from consolidating. Lastly, one other consideration to keep in mind is that some, but not all babies, start sucking their thumb when the pacifier is taken away. So if your baby replaces the pacifier with thumb sucking, it's really up to you to choose whether you encourage that or whether you want to give the pacifier back if you're really against them sucking on their thumb. So now that we've looked at how to wean the pacifier from a younger baby up till age 8 months, we want to talk about how to deal with pacifier usage in older babies or toddlers that are 9+ months of age. Remember, like I said, weaning the pacifier between 9 and 18 months may be somewhat distressing to your child because of increased separation anxiety at this time. So we would first of all encourage you to teach them or try to teach them to independently find and replace the pacifier. Keep in mind that if this does not work and the sleep problems persist, you may still need to go ahead and wean the pacifier, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. If your child is having difficulty finding and replacing the pacifier, but you're not wanting to fully wean the pacifier yet, there are a few ways that we can teach your child to learn this skill. And firstly, it's just important to keep in mind that we need them to become more independent with finding and replacing the pacifier. Otherwise, your help of doing that is actually a hidden sleep association, and many babies and toddlers will refuse to do it themselves until required to do so. So how do we encourage that more independent finding and replacing process? Firstly, instead of placing the pacifier back into your child's mouth when they wake up, we encourage you to put it into their hand, near their hand, or just simply to point to it so that they're encouraged to pick it up themselves. Here, this is where you're teaching them to find it independently. If they're not quite yet coordinated enough to place the pacifier correctly into their mouth by themselves, instead of taking over and just doing it for them, you could also let them try a few things on their own, and then, if necessary, guide their hand with the pacifier to their mouth. Something else to consider is that we want to make the pacifier as easy to find and accessible as possible when teaching find and replace. So, sewing the pacifier onto the corner of a lovey cloth, for example, can make the pacifier harder to lose in bed. It doesn't fall out of the crib railings as easily, and it's just much easier to find. Keep in mind, we do not advise putting the pacifier on any kind of string or pacifier chain and attaching it to your child. That would actually present a suffocation hazard. Other ideas are using glow-in-the-dark pacifiers, or to make things even easier, putting multiple pacifiers in bed with your little one so that they can hopefully find at least one. When you're ready to wean your older baby or toddler from the pacifier, be sure to talk about it with them and involve them in the process as much as possible. We don't want this to be a sudden or surprising event where suddenly the pacifiers just disappear. That's going to be much more difficult for your child to process, and there will probably be more frustration. So, for example, you might give the child a couple of options of what to do with the pacifier once it's weaned. We've heard of all sorts of ideas, from allowing the child to cut the pacifier nipples up with scissors, to giving them away to a friend's new baby, or to even tying them to a helium balloon and sending them flying away in the sky. Be creative. Make it fun. You might also want to consider replacing the pacifier with a new special present, like a big kid blanket or a special stuffed toy that can help soothe that transition. You also might want to prep the process by letting your child know exactly when the pacifier will be removed. So instead of just saying, "We're going to remove it soon," you might be more specific and say, for example, "In 5 sleeps time, you're going to fall asleep without your pacifier," and then keep track on a calendar with stickers. Verbal and visual reminders are going to be really, really helpful with your toddler to actually know what's happening. You can expect some extra tears and frustration in the first few days. That's really, really normal. So choose to do this process at a time where you have space and energy for giving those extra cuddles during the daytime, and when you have the ability to really respond consistently with your chosen settling method at sleep time.